track three, and we look at the first story in the Mid-Devon Advertiser, counting the cost of nature's fury. Businesses are counting the cost after two storms swept across the region, bringing widespread disruption and destruction in their path. Sea defences crumbled and parts of a historic pier were washed away as storms Ingrid and Chandra made their presence well and truly felt. Heavy rain combining with high tides saw Network Rail issue a black alert on the line through Dawlish. Train services were suspended after sections of the seawall were breached, but a Herculean effort by engineers meant that trains were operating again through the troubled track just after 48 hours. Tynmouth was also badly hit with the end of the town's historic pier sustaining substantial damage, with smashed parts of the structure being washed up further along the coast at Holcombe. The promenade also suffered damage, with heavy paving slabs scattered and walls broken by the sheer force of the waves. It looks like 2026 could turn out to be a record year for wild weather, a worrying thought seeing as we are only less than a month into it. The owners of the pier are working with maritime engineers to conduct a survey of the structure following the storm damage. In a short holding statement posted online, Maddie Brenner, daughter and niece of Tynmouth Pier owners Nick Brenner and Lucy Cooper, responded to social media comments hinting that the Victorian landmark had not been properly maintained. "We are fully aware that the cosmetic appearance of the pier isn't perfect. However, the reality is that constant structural maintenance over the last decade is what has allowed the Grand Pier Tynmouth to remain standing, despite the recent loss of a section of the deck due to Storm Ingrid. That unseen work has enabled us to fight another day, and we can continue to do everything we can to protect the pier." Along the sea wall at Spray Point, a 3-metre-wide sinkhole appeared near the famous Tynmouth Letters. Engineers from Network Rail have visited the scene to survey the damage and install safety cordons. At the point end of the seafront, the sandbar was shifted in the River Teen estuary and sand was washed away, leaving beach huts teetering on exposed foundations. The local maritime plot said several passes of the shipping canal had been made to ensure the safe passage of vehicles in and out of the commercial port. The town was braced for further destruction as another named storm, Chandra, swept in on Monday evening. However, while many areas of Tynmouth were subject to flooding, Tynmouth escaped further damage. Local MP Martin Wrigley visited the resort on Sunday and met Teignbridge District Council Deputy Leader David Palethorpe and Tynmouth Town Councillors. He said he would be calling on the government to provide funding to help the town recover from the devastation wreaked by Storm Ingrid. Tynmouth Mayor Councillor Kate Williams praised the resilience of the local community in the face of the destruction caused by the adverse weather conditions. She said her thoughts are with the owners of the pier as they handle the national attention the weather has brought.
Orange Army in action as storms batter sea defences. Dawlish has endured a battering from two major storms in a matter of days. While Storm Ingrid hit the town from the sea, causing areas of damage to the sea wall, Storm Chandra brought huge amounts of rainfall, which burst the Brooks banks and a deluge on roads along the A379 to Exminster. Up to 60 millimetres of rain fell at Ashcombe on Monday night, and both black swan nests were washed away in the torrent of water. It was Storm Ingrid over the weekend, combining heavy rainfall with high tides, that brought a black alert from Network Rail, its highest warning level for only the second time since the Great Storm of 2014. Train services were suspended due to storm damage after two sections of the seawall near Sea Lawn Terrace, which runs between the line and the footpath, were breached. Engineers from Network Rail worked round the clock to clear the damage and debris which had landed on the tracks and surrounding area along a 2-mile stretch. The part of the wall affected was not part of the new wall and had not been due to work by Network Rail until 2030. The footpath remained shut between Dawlish and Dawlish Warren while repairs were underway. A spokesman for Network Rail said, services were back up and running on one line from the start of Sunday morning, with a speed restriction in place until the necessary route proving inspections and clearance work had been carried out. Both lines were back up and running by 5 p.m. on Sunday. MP Martin Wrigley said Storm Ingrid was a reminder how powerful the sea can be. He said, when the train line was closed on Friday afternoon, it was the first closure since the new sea wall had been finished. This demonstrates that the wall is protecting the line, but it also shows that there is still some work to do. The old sea wall was damaged by the waves, thankfully not as badly as in 2014, but it still necessitated a clean-up before the track could reopen. I'm also very concerned by the cliffs in between Dawlish and Tynmouth, which should have been addressed in the fifth phase of the rail resilience project, but that was shelved and now is not being funded. With the threat of more rain, these cliffs need to be monitored, and we need to hope that we don't experience another catastrophic cliff fall as we did back in 2014. Network Rail engineers were out clearing the track in what were described as pretty trying conditions, dealing with debris and ballast which had washed away. Work was expected to continue through this week. Beach huts at Coryton Cove sustained damage, as did Poplar Cafe Buddies at Red Rock. Just days later, the town was pounded by a deluge of rain overnight on Monday, bringing a torrent of water through the town. The brook burst its banks and flood alerts were issued for the low-lying part of the town at Brunswick Place, Brookdale Terrace and Station Road. During the night, both black swan nests were lost. The adult swans all survived, but all eggs were washed away. Volunteers from Wade were out during the night keeping check on water levels and controlling sluice gates. Engineers from Network Rail also worked through the night, walking tracks and checking for debris.
Ambulance Charity awarded £200,000. Southwestern Ambulance Charity has been awarded £200,000 from NHS Charities Together and NHS England to enable the Southwest Ambulance Service Staying Well Hub to enhance wellbeing support for colleagues across the Southwestern Ambulance Service Foundation Trust. The funding allows a successful collaboration grant application between Staying Well Hub and Southwestern Ambulance Charity and forms part of a national £11 million programme, including a £5 million contribution from NHS England. The programme is supporting 29 ambitious projects across England. Research from NHS Charities Together shows that almost half, 47%, of NHS staff surveyed say their job is negatively affecting their mental health, while 41% report an impact on their physical health. This makes targeted wellbeing support more vital than ever. Through this funding, Southwest Ambulance Service Staying Well Hub will design and deliver a range of proactive, evidence-based wellbeing initiatives, ensuring support is meaningful, impactful, and sector-leading. Lauren Dunn, Head of Wellbeing and Occupational Health, said, "To receive this grant and to be supported to deliver such a genuinely transformative programme of work is an immense privilege. It allows us as the first ambulance service to pilot and evaluate these innovative approaches in such depth, to shape not only the future of wellbeing within our organisation, but to contribute to sector-wide change. This programme has been built directly from the voices of our colleagues. Our hope is that these projects will make a lasting, positive impact on the wellbeing of every colleague." Ellie Norton, CEO, NHS Charities Together, said, "Many NHS staff feel that theirs is the best job in the world. But these roles come with a tremendous responsibility for the lives they care for, and at a time of incredible pressure on health services, this takes a toll on their mental and physical well-being."